last night a friend of mine's house was ransacked, and we're a little bit delayed because of that, being up all night. If you want to put your mics over here, we're going to get started in 2 seconds because I know a lot of you are on deadline. Meanwhile, maybe people can gather in the shade, and we can, in a shady part, and we can start the speaker's part of our presentation, and then we'll be picketing some more. The reason why we're here, my name is Karen Palmer, P-O-M-E-R, and I'm a rape survivor. I was kidnapped at gunpoint and by a stranger and was raped for over 6 hours. We're here to say that there is no excuse for disposing of DNA evidence. There is no excuse, there is no reason for it, and we're demanding an immediate halt and immediate stop by the LAPD and the County Sheriff's Department and police departments across the country who are destroying DNA. They need to stop, because of the 1,100 kits that were destroyed, each one of those represents a woman who will never be able to prosecute their case, or a person who is wrongly convicted will never be able to prove their innocence. The first person I would like to introduce is a very special person, and her name is Jerry Elster. Jerry's going to tell you her story, and I want you to all to know that today is a very important day. It is the 10th anniversary of Jerry's rape. Jerry will tell you the story of how her rape, she's going to tell her own story. I'm Karen Palmer, I'm with the Rainbow Sisters Project. We are the ones sponsoring this demonstration. Our motto is convict the guilty and free the innocent. We feel equally, those two things are equally important. It's important to put rapists away because only a very small percentage of rapists ever do any prison time. But we also have people here that were wrongly convicted or have a family member executed without DNA being tested, or wrongly convicted and only able to prove their innocence through DNA evidence. And here's Jerry, she's gonna tell her story.
Thank you, Karen. I'm a member of the Rainbow Sisters Project, and I'm very proud of that fact.
It's a directional mic, you gotta speak right into it.
We are doing work that we think other people should be doing. On my 10th anniversary of my rape, I do not want to be here and be a poster child for rape and doing the right thing, using DNA. The police threw out its reported 1,100 rape kits that qualified for a law that Karen Palmer and I went to Sacramento to help get passed. I'm personally insulted that I'm paying for law enforcement that does not know the law. And that's why we're here today. Also, if DNA gets tested, it can free the wrongly convicted. We want the guilty behind bars. I do not want the wrong person behind bars. I want the people that are threatening your public safety, my public safety, behind bars. My story is that 10 years ago today, I was raped in my home at 1 o'clock in the morning by knife point for 2.5 hours. In those days, they did not test DNA rape kits when there was no suspect. Eventually, I gave the police a suspect from a news article and the DNA got tested. It was tested and matched with the first cold hit for the LAPD, except that the DA and the LAPD did not know what the statute of limitations was. And of course, in my case, it's become somewhat known, it was after the statute of limitations had passed. And my rapist can never be prosecuted for my rape, even though we know who it is. The other side of that is, he was arrested for another rape in 1992, 2 months after my rape. I walked around for 7 years with the possibility that he could come back after me, and he was incarcerated all that time. And I wouldn't have had to live with that if it was a timely tested DNA kit. So not only do I want kits tested, I want them tested timely. And I want to be able to prosecute a man who does such things, especially this man who's done it over and over. His record stems from 1966. And guess what? He is due to get out of a California prison in 2007 and walk the streets again, and we're permitting it. That's just a travesty of the law, in my estimation, and it's why I'm spending a day in which I should be the administrator at my office and I don't get paid while I'm here. And I think it's the right thing to do. If I sat at home, it would be immoral. And someone has to share this with the public and get something done, and I'm proud to be the person to do that and not just sit at home and wonder why it's not being done. I thank you all for being here and supporting the proposition that we need to convict the guilty and free the innocent. Thank you.
Right now, I would like to introduce Herman Atkins. Herman Atkins spent 11 years in California State Prison before DNA evidence proved his innocence. Here is Herman Atkins.
Good morning, all. I would like to, first of all, thank Karen Palmer, as well as the members of the Rainbow Sisters Project. My name is Herman Atkins. I was tried and found guilty in 1988 in the county of Riverside for a crime I didn't commit. The crime was the rape and robbery of a white woman. In 1988, I was tried and sentenced and found guilty and received a 47-year, 8-month prison sentence, at which time I served some 12 years. It wasn't until year 2000, February 18th, year 2000, that I was exonerated of the crime. In 1997, DNA that was used as evidence in my trial was located, and it took another 3 years to get the evidence tested because the DA, as well as his superiors, didn't want to test the DNA. Once the test was conducted and proved my innocence, then it was another obstacle we had to face, which was to have the test retested again by the FBI, who confirmed what my attorneys, Barry Sheck and Peter Neufeld, had brought to the attentions of the Riverside District Attorney's Office. I say that to say this. Riverside, when the evidence was found in my case, the DNA wasn't found in the DNA lab, in the laboratory. It was found in the court, in the basement of the courtroom where the trial was held, and it had been there well over 7 years. Here, when I was called up by Karen Palmer and told that officers here in the city of Los Angeles had threw away well over 1,100 DNA rape kits, the first thing came to my mind was, that's 1,100 innocent people in jail. That's the first thing I thought. Me being one is too many. I also thought of the fact that if my case had been here in the city of Los Angeles, I would have still been in prison. You can't find the rape kit had already been disposed of. A DNA testing could have never been conducted. Therefore, I would have still been incarcerated. And I think about the people the innocent people that is incarcerated now and will not be able to have DNA tested as a result of officers throwing away DNA testing and rape kits. This is a crucial point in the field of technology, because it's an issue that's backlogged. What we need at this time is education, the public to be educated on the matter, have it brought to the attention that you have both innocent victims, meaning the women that was raped, as well as the men that are put incarcerated, are incarcerated as a result of wrongful conviction. When you put those two together, you use that as a force to do some educating, as in the educating that needs to be done in regards to the $96 million crime lab that is seriously understaffed. We need funds to man this laboratory so we can get a control of the issue, such as DNA testing. I wish to thank you all for your time, for coming and showing the support. Please keep in mind that it is a face to the wrongful convicted as well as the victims in rape cases. Thank you much. That's Herman Atkins, capital H-E-R-M-A-N, capital A-T-K-I-N-S.